Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to worship this morning. Obviously, it's Mother's Day, and it's my intent to give a bit of a tribute to mothers. The title is Mothers, a Reflection of God's Heart. As we think about that, there are going to be a lot of, think about Mother's Day, there's going to be a lot of different walks of life in relation to mothers. Mother's Day is specifically to honor mothers, but in all reality, it should be special for them and special for all the rest of us, too. It should be special for them because they are the mothers, but it also should be special for those of us who are celebrating mothers. And unless they really mean something to us, and we show that to them out of a heart of love, they will not experience the true meaning of Mother's Day either. As husbands, we honor our mothers, honor our wives, the mother of our children. Children celebrate the meaning of their mother. Some may remember the mother they once had, but has passed on to be with Jesus. Some may be made especially aware of difficult relationships with their mother, or a relationship that never existed, or a mother difficulty in relating with her children. Maybe a mother's heart aches because of a miscarriage, death of a child, or for a wayward child. Some may hurt because the motherhood they dreamed about never came to be. Well, mothers are human and imperfect, but they impact the lives of their children tremendously, some for good, some for worse. But when they follow Jesus and have the love of Jesus in their heart, there is an even more powerful blessing and influence that will go with a child for a lifetime. A godly mother's love is a reflection of God's heart, as we took from the title there. Isaiah 66:13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. In Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but yet will I not forget thee. That last verse indicates the humanity of mothers. And while they may love us tremendously, God's love goes beyond that. And even for those who may be struggling with the realities of hardships in regards to any circumstance relating to mothers, it could be an emotionally challenging time always, but maybe even more today, God will meet that need. God goes beyond that. And I also want to say this morning that Mother's Day is for all of you ladies, young or old, single or married. Mother's Day is a time to honor all nurturing figures, grandmothers, mothers, adoptive mothers, stepmothers, foster mothers, sisters, mentors, teachers, friends. You truly have something that we men don't have, and that is by God's design, and we want to honor that. That the familiar saying that fathers are the leaders of the home, but the mothers are the heart of the home, really does carry weight. And we also heard that mothers are the heart of the nation, and so on. But so keep being the heart of our community and church family. Allow God to shine through your life. I want to start by reading the familiar Proverbs 31. Let me turn there. Read verses 10 through 31. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, and she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maiden. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. For the remainder of the time now, I want to look at multiple godly woman characters of the Bible and see how they reflected God's heart. Some were mothers, and some were not necessarily mothers. I'm sure it isn't everyone's wish this morning, and speaking mostly to the sisters, to be used of God and to be an inspiring example to follow. Proverbs 31 may look unachievable, but all God is asking of you is to follow. And as we look at these characters, I think that can be an encouragement to you. And a lot of those truths from Proverbs 31 will show in these women's lives. First woman I'd like to look at is the woman that came to Jesus and touched the hem of his garment and was healed. We know the story well. Some of these stories, we're going to read some, and others I'm just going to mention. The impressive thing about this woman is she knew the source of her healing and strength. If I may touch but its clothes, I shall be whole. It doesn't matter who we are, a man or a woman. We all need the strength of Jesus in our life, and we know that. And we must seek it out. And when we do seek it out, we will not be disappointed. You will receive virtue. Verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Daughters of Jesus, today you can't stoop and touch the hem of his garment in the physical sense that she did, but you can stoop in prayer and ask Jesus to be your strength for the day. Mothers especially fill so many roles, and roles that seemingly can't be left unfilled. And there's hardly any time for themselves or rejuvenation. We could put a word in here for the rest of us to step in, definitely, and help. But when a mother relies on the strength of the Lord, there will be strength. Depend on the virtue of God. Mary, the mother of Jesus, I want to read this story. You can turn to Luke 1. It's a promise of the Messiah to be born to Mary, so we definitely want to read that. Luke 1, verses 26 through 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. I think the story has a lot of meaning for all women who desire to follow Jesus. All of you have hopes and dreams. Many of them very likely have to do with having a family and having the perfect family, perhaps. Mary was espoused to Joseph, and we don't know what kind of plans they were making other than they were going to get married. And I'm sure that she and her cousin Elizabeth had far different plans from what God was now showing them, for both of them. Some things that God brings into life are troubling and hard to understand. Being the mother of Jesus sounds like the most wonderful thing there could ever be. But think of all the pondering in her heart that she had to do. All the whys she had to ask when she saw Jesus suffering and hanging on the cross. But even at this moment when things just didn't make sense and character would be questioned, she chose to be used of God. Can you identify with that? Hopes and dreams dashed, but still willing to be used of God. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And God saved the world through her son. What will God use you for when you say yes? Your family, or lack of one, can become even more beautiful because it is what God has for you, and you embraced it. We could add a lot of personal things in here. The chromosome count, the number of fingers, anything specially challenged. Be it unto me according to thy word. Embrace the motherhood God called you to. Noah's wife. There's very little said about Noah's wife, but Genesis 6:8 says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then in verse 9, it says he walked with God. And we know that Noah and his household were saved on the ark. It was a huge task. And so I like to think that Noah had a lot of support from his wife. It would have taken years of sacrifice on Noah's part, but often the sacrifice that wives or mothers have to give in order for the vision to prosper is quite heavy. Teamwork. Support your husband or the leadership role in your life. Some of the things God may call you as wives, mothers, daughters, and grandmothers to do may seem small and insignificant. I can give tribute to my mother and grandmother for caring about God's work. They cared about their children and actively taught them about Jesus. I can give tribute to my wife and my aunt for sermon ideas and prayer support. My wife for much more, too. I can give tribute to my daughters. One brought me a top-of-the-notch iced coffee while I was studying, and another brought me some sparkling grape juice a little later on. All of them helped make me a better person. And I think that's what Noah's wife did. The Shunammite woman felt the call of God to make a place for the prophet Elisha to feel free to come and go, a nice guest chamber. Priscilla stood alongside Aquila in the tent-making business, helping to fund the spread of the gospel. Hannah prayed for his son and dedicated him to the Lord. Your lives of dedication to the Lord do include your families too, and the loved ones around you. Your prayers and gifts have far-reaching effects. The prophetess Anna, who was a widow for many years, could have given up and said that she no longer has what it takes to be a powerful influence. She served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Your prayers are so powerful. Be a prayer warrior. Naaman's servant girl pointed her master to the prophet of God, a very strong influence even as a servant girl. Again, it does not matter who or where you are. You still have a powerful influence to others, especially when you are willing to be used of God and declare his name. Deborah was a prophetess and described as a mother in Israel. Mothers, and to you, daughters of God in general, when you are grounded firmly in Jesus, you too are the solid and stable influence to those around you. And I don't think I can stress that enough, the power and the influence of humbly and boldly following Jesus. You are a mothering figure when you fill the role God has placed you in. Remember what Dorcas did? Acts 9, verses 36 and 37. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. In verse 39, then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And if we keep reading, we will see that she was miraculously brought back to life. Daughters of God, wherever you serve, you can be an influential mother. Serve well. Serve well right where you are. More powerful than you know. Abigail, this story is found in 1 Samuel 25. Let me turn there. It's actually a pretty long story, but I think we have time to read it. It's an amazing story. And after reading and becoming a little more familiar with this story, I almost changed my mind and narrowed it down to just about Abigail. But I think there's much more we can learn by diversifying a bit. And you can feel free to form some of your own thoughts as we read. So 1 Samuel 25, start at verse 2 and read all the way to verse 42, I think. 1 Samuel 25, verse 2. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say unto him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Ask the young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servant and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There may be servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I killed from my shears and give it unto them, whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those things, those sayings. And David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, and all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, Go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so as she rode on the ass that she came down by the cover of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertained to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass, and fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and fell at his feet, and said, Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him, but I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life which the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, and the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me. Surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and it became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth, and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that went after her, and she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. Lost my pace. So we see here with Abigail, and as mothers, sometimes you solve a lot of, or you prevent a lot of, well, in this case it was bloodshed, but not for you. You're the peacemakers. And it says here, she was a woman of good understanding, a woman who was selfless and cared about the right things. Abigail had every reason to lash out and be filled with resentment, not only to her husband, but also even to David. The circumstances of life were difficult, but she chose love and to do good. She did what she needed to do, but she also allowed God to do what God needed to do. She did good for her household and beyond. In 2 Kings 4, we see the widow with her 2 sons who were going to be sold into slavery. That one's a short one, so we'll turn to 2 Kings 4. Second Kings 4, verses 1 through 7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wise of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take him unto him, my 2 sons, to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more in the oil state. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. The widow feared the Lord and took steps of faith. Choose faith and obedience. Circumstances in life may look unbearable and consuming, but God is bigger. Take one step of faith at a time and believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Mary Magdalene. Who was Mary Magdalene? We know the name. Jesus healed her from 7 demons. She was known for serving Christ. She also came to the tomb of Jesus. She took the time to meditate and grieve too. I'm sure of that. She lingered there at the tomb even when the others had already left. And guess who spoke to her? It was Jesus. She may be one that busy mothers can identify with, even when life seems busy, difficult, confusing, sad, and that Jesus isn't close. Take the time. Go to the tomb of Jesus. He will speak to you. Your day will get a lot brighter. We know the story of Esther quite well, how she became a queen and God used her to deliver the Jews from certain death. She was concerned for God's people and the things of God. She sought God's will through prayer and fasting. Wealth, prestige, and position had nothing to do with her willingness to serve others. She realized that her choices had huge impact for the future, not only herself, but also for all of her people. So, woman of God, you have tremendous influence on the lives you touch, and especially those of whom you're close to. Allow God to use you for a strong and powerful influence for his kingdom rather than for your advantage. Miriam, Moses' sister, was no stranger to seeing women being used of God. She watched her mother Jochebed trust in God and place her dear baby brother in the Nile. She watched from the bushes and saw God miraculously move the motherly heart of Pharaoh's daughter. She marveled at the goodness of God. Later on in life, she shared and encouraged others to praise the Lord. Exodus 15, verse 21, and Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Next one I have is Rebecca, Genesis 24, 18 and 19, and she said, "Drink, my Lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." What did Jesus say? "Give even a cup of water in my name and you will be blessed." I know that as children, we have taken our mothers for granted growing up, and those who serve us for granted. We men tend to be selfish and expect wonderful graces from our wives and mothers. Some of those things have to do with custom and practice, and we could give a whole speech to the men on doing our part. But the point I'm trying to make, and it goes with every human being, selfless acts of love and service bring meaning and blessing, and God will reward. And I want to bless you as sisters for selflessly serving, even when things go unnoticed. Thank you for serving. On the topic of service, who else do you think of? Probably right away, Martha. She and her sister Mary were on different pages when it came to hosting. Mary was busy listening to Jesus, and she was all about serving. Well, God bless you in your service, but most importantly, you need to enrich yourselves too. Keep up the service, but when God isn't filling you, then your service will become empty and void. It's not so important to have everything perfect. We also don't want to be comparing ourselves among ourselves. What Martha did do right is she talked to Jesus about it, and he helped her prioritize. And yes, mothers, you do it all. You literally have to do everything all at once sometimes, it seems. And we men get frazzled almost immediately. Long before you do, anyway. But God created you to be geniuses in this. But you'll be super geniuses when you keep God in your life first and allow him to help you prioritize the things that really are important. Rahab faced fear, but she chose rather to trust God. She is listed in Hebrews 11 along with the other faithful there. She hung the scarlet cord out to identify with the people of God. Lydia, the seller of purple, allowed her life to be transformed. She no longer allowed the beauty of the world to define her. She allowed the beauty of a changed heart and the beauty of the Lord to be her testimony and for it to be on her countenance. Show the beauty of the Lord by your life. Last character I have is Ruth. She was a stranger in another land. Difficulties in life were very real, but she did not lose her trust in God. You may have seen that nearly everyone had forgotten her and that she and her mother-in-law were all alone. All the responsibilities of providing for the two of them were intense. And here we have it again, that when we allow God to use us right where we are, he uses us in so many powerful ways. Ruth and so many of the characters that we talked about today had such a lasting impact on the lives of humanity. Ruth was a mother in the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. You too can be a mother in the kingdom of God. To all of you, grandmothers, mothers and daughters, be inspired to be mothering daughters of God. Allow him to use you right where you are. Your influence to those around you is stronger than you know. And when you pay less attention to that detail and more attention to God, God will use you mightily. So, happy Mother's Day to you, and God bless you as you serve him. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the mother influence in our lives. Pray you bless each one of the sisters, young and old, be near to them, continue to bless their lives. Help us as men to be supportive and loving as well and appreciative. Pray, Lord, that you would bless our time this afternoon as we share in fellowship and remember our mothers and the mother influence of our lives. Pray, Lord, that you would also be with those who couldn't be here this morning. Pray for those who are going through hard circumstances and whatever it may be. Give them your grace. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.